You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned in to New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
We get strength that we never thought we had. And listen, we push out and do what God has called us to do in regard to our time here on earth. And listen, I can ask you to raise your hand and let me know when you're going to die. And nobody here knows, but God knows. And we have today, and I need to do what he's called me to do while it is today. The Bible says, because tomorrow is coming when no man is going to do anything. No man can work. So I need to do what he's called me to do on this day. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. He goes on. He's giving us some instruction as he's closing out this book. He says, remember them which have rule over you. And he's talking about our elders and our pastors, our church leaders, who have spoken unto you the word of God. He says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And listen, he's talking about those that stand, they teach, and the Bible teaches that teach, and they preach. But I like the fact that the writer is not saying that just do what they say and not what they do. He's saying for the teacher, for the pastor, for the elder, that as I teach, my life ought to be just like I said it. I ought to walk it like I talk it. And you shouldn't catch me up in some bar somewhere later on because I'm doing my own thing. Guys, I don't have a thing anymore because my thing is God's thing. And as I say it out of my mouth, I've got to walk it in my body. And if I'm struggling in an area, then I give it to him and say, Lord, I can't. And he says, Brother Ralph, I know you can't. That's why I'm going to do it through you. And I'm going to be obedient to him no matter what it is. And no matter what comes down the pike, I must be right with him. He says, remember them. In other words, when he's saying, remember, keep us in prayer. Keep the leaders and the elders and the church leaders in prayer. Many times you'll read in the paper or see on the internet that this one got caught up in this, or this one fell here, or this got caught up in some trappings. And look, as I do for the Lord, as leaders do for the Lord, Satan pays particular attention to God's leaders, and he knows our past and will try to trip us up in our past and will come. And listen, you might deny him this time, but it's not going to stop him. He will keep coming and keep coming, which is why I need the whole armor of God to ward off the fiery lying darts of Satan. So you pray for me and keep me in prayer and pray for your leaders, even in our nation, but in particular your spiritual leaders. Because many times folk are following a man when in reality they ought to be following the Lord. And if a man falls, a pastor falls, those that have been following that man, many of them will turn away as well. And that speaks volumes in regard to the faith that they say they have. Amen. Again, verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And he goes on and he gives us our example, man. And this is the best example. And in fact, in reality, it's the only example. I look at some men, some leaders, and I admire them from time to time. But guys, I'm not following their example. I'm following the one who has given them the mission or the ministry that they had. It says in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. In other words, man, consistent Christ was while he was on earth. Consistent was he was when he was on the cross. Consistent was he when he gave, downplayed himself and said, I come to do the work of my Father. And we ought to be not only obedient, but consistent. How you see me today, I shouldn't change up tomorrow and say, oh, well, you know, that sermon I preached last week, it was okay. But you know what? We don't have to do everything the word says. Yes, we do. Consistency. And consistency in Christ and to follow him and my faith in him. And listen, when something goes wrong, by faith, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to him first, and I know he's going to work it out. And he always does. And look, there are sometimes, even with this election coming up, and we get fearful sometimes and say, oh, wow, this one stepped aside, and now we got to deal with her. No, we have our Lord, and whatever happens in this election or anything else in this dust bowl, God is still in control. And he was in control when everything looked good, and even though it don't look so good, he's still in control. And he wants to know who we're going to trust, who we're going to believe, and are we still going to have our faith in him and not in the things that we hear or the things that we see. Verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In verse 9 it says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. In other words, he's talking about establishing Christ. Make sure you know where you are and make sure you know whose you are. It says, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And listen, he's talking about, we know, like he's writing to these Hebrews, and they had a tendency to go back to the rituals of the Mosaic law. They were trying to go back to keeping the law, when in reality they couldn't keep it anyhow. And so we simply believe on Christ, and look, he's going to keep us. So we keep him, and we're going to be consistent, and we're always going to be okay. Verse 9 says, be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrine. Man, somebody come down the pike and tell me about something new in Christ. And look, if it does not line up with this book, I don't want to hear it. Dispose of it. Get it out of my face. He says, doctrine, he said, for it's a good thing that the heart, and we know the heart is the heart of the problem. He says, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. And he's talking about God's grace, rooted in Christ, not with meats which have no profit, or which have not profited them, which have occupied thereof or therein. In other words, what he's saying is that, guys, we can't keep ourselves. We can't make ourselves better. We can't save ourselves. And in reality, guys, only way we can help ourselves is if we do and are obedient to God and do what he tells us to do. Every week it seems like somebody's coming up with a new diet. Eat this, eat oak leaves, and you'll live forever. Do this exercise, and you'll be thoroughly cleansed. Do this here, and everything's going to be okay. Run around the block 10 times, and look, you'll stay healthy, and you'll live a long life. Guys, I got how many years that I have, and God's in control of that. And listen, we ought to eat healthy. It's a good thing. We ought to do what we can do in regard to exercise. That's a good thing. If you got high blood pressure, maybe you need to pull away from the salt. If you got sugar, maybe you should not eat all that sugar. Good idea, real good. But it still doesn't really profit you in regard to longevity here on earth, because there is a number that God has for me and for you when it's going to be time. And listen, I guess it's okay to have a corpse that looks good, but I'm going to do what God has called me to do. Now, I don't need to go and just eat a whole bunch of pig feet and a bunch of fat and just eat all ice cream all day long. I don't need to do that either. I need to use godly wisdom, but I need to understand that God's got me. and whatever I do with this body, in regard to even trying, as he's writing to them, keeping, trying to keep the law, that the best thing I can do is believe on Christ and be obedient to him. That God honors. Amen. If you would go with me, mark this page off, and I want you to go with me to the book of Colossians chapter 2. That should be page 1023 in your pew Bible. Colossians chapter 2. And I'm going to begin my reading here at verse 1. Should be page 1023 if you're using a pew Bible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Colossians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're there, please say amen. And Paul writes here, he says, "For I would," as he's kind of introducing himself to them, or part of his introduction, and he wants them to know how he feels about them. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many," he says, "as have not seen my face in the flesh." So what we know is that Paul has not been there yet, but he's striving to get there, and he wants to be a blessing to them that have never met him. He says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and of course in Christ's love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. And listen, he's saying the full assurance in regard to being in Christ. And he also mentions this word mystery, which in the old covenant were things that they talked about but didn't know about, but it's been revealed in the new, some things that they didn't know, but in the new it's been revealed. He says mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. And listen, before it was not known, but it's been revealed to believers, to New Testament believers, to those that have been blessed of Christ. And by the way, guys, we now know the secret of true life and true death, because if you're in Christ, then you are alive. And look, even when you physically die, you're even more alive, because the Bible says absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if you're not in Christ, you're actually dead right now. You're dead men and women walking that really only have hope if you come to faith in Christ while you're believing. He says, "For I would not," verse 2, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." And listen, knowing this, and he mentioned Christ last, he says, "In whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And guys, look, whatever you want to know about this world, whatever you want to know about salvation, whatever you want to know about you, get into God's word and read about him. He's given us understanding, given us wisdom that before we did not have. Man, we are running around like we were our own guys, and in a sense, we kind of were. And then God stopped us on our track, just like he stopped Mr. Paul, or Brother Paul, and he showed us the error of our ways, and he showed us that our sin wasn't that necessarily against our man or a woman, but our sin was against him, as he was the only righteous one. And he taught us that, and he showed us that, and even showed us his son, God's son, and that he died to pay for those very same sins. He says in verse 3, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say," he goes on verse 4, "lest any man should beguile you," in other words, trick you, come up with some kind of way to bamboozle you with enticing words. And listen, there are a whole lot of folk around, and they can talk up a storm. They can out-preach me in regard to how it sounds. And it sounds so good and so smooth, almost sound like poetry coming out of their mouths. But man, if it's not rooted in Christ's word, it is nothing but a bag of bees coming out of their mouth and will not profit you nothing. He says, and this I say, lest any should beguile you with enticing words. Verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, and by the way, he was absent. He wasn't with them because he was under arrest for righteousness' sake. He says, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfast, he says, of your faith in Christ. And listen, though he had met them, hadn't been with many of them, he's hearing where from where he is about how they are and how they're holding on to Jesus Christ and they're doing the work that God has called them to do, that he's getting good reports about them. He says, as ye have therefore looked, receive Christ. And this is Paul's plea to them. He says, as ye have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, he says, so walk ye in him. In other words, he's saying if you're saved, if you know the Lord, then you ought to be walking like him. You ought to be talking like him. It ought to show in your life, not just with your words, but in your actions. And folk will see you and they'll say there's something different about them folk. One thing to say it. One thing to show it. And another thing, when somebody recognizes you that you're different, not because you said it, because of how you're conducting your life in this life. He says in verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And listen, he even helps us understand how we're to walk in him. He says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, in our faith in him, as ye have been taught. He goes on abounding, and I love that word, man. He's not talking about just being stagnant, not just being a pew potato, not just going to church, but growing in your faith. He said, therein with thanksgiving. Beware, he goes on, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. And we know philosophy generally ends up being man's wisdom when man thinks on the subject. He says, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And again, he's talking about worldly teaching and not godly teaching. He goes on, talking about Christ again, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in fact, when Christ put on flesh, there was a segment of religious folk called the Gnostics. And what their thing was is that anything that has flesh, anything that has matter, it can't be holy, surely can't be deity. And so they denied Christ and who he was, but indeed he was who he said he was. He says, and ye are complete in him, know that, which is the head of all principalities, it says, and powers. In other words, there is none higher, guys. Even these worldly powers, there is none higher than Christ, in whom also, he said, you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And again, he's writing and he's letting these know, this is a Gentile church, but he's letting them know that, no, you don't have to go and convert to Judaism and then be circumcised, because in Christ, he has circumcised the foreskin of your heart and cut away all the sin, and now you belong to me, no physical actions necessary. Buried with him, verse 12, in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith. It says, of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And I love that, man. I love that God put that in place. And everything about our salvation is contained in Christ. And it was all his operation. He set it up. He fulfilled it. Verse 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcised of your flesh, they were Gentiles, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all, not some, all your trespasses. And I love that. And that word quickening means that he has made us alive, because before we were dead as a doornail, blotting out all the handwritings of the ordinances that was against us. And there were many, which was contrary to us. He says, and took it away. Look what it says. Nailing it to his cross. And guys, with everything that we've done, with everything that we've done sinfully, he took that sin and he nailed it to his cross, signifying that he's going to pay for that one as well. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or a new moon, or the Sabbath days. And listen, they would many times ridicule the Gentiles because they weren't paying mind to these days. He says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And he's reminding them that, look, don't worry about trying to keep the law, because the law has been kept 100% perfectly in Christ Jesus. Amen. Go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Look at verse 9. Be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrine, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof, he said, they had no right to eat that served the tabernacle. And he's talking about the old covenant priest, even the high priest, that at this tabernacle, the holy spiritual tabernacle, which is in heaven, they have no right to eat. They can't dine there until they come to faith in Christ. It says, for the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And listen, when they would come for the Day of Atonement, many of times with their feast days, they would eat whatever was left. This meat, they wouldn't eat it. They would take it without the camp, away from the sanctuary, and it would be burned. Verse 12 says, wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And of course, it would be that way for the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him, it says, without the camp, bearing his reproach. And again, the writer is writing to these Hebrews that had a tendency to want to go back to the old, back to trying to keep the law. He's saying, no, let us come to Christ without the law, and let us believe on his finished work outside of that old camp. He goes on, for here, in verse 14, we have no continuing city, talking about on earth, but we seek one to come. And of course, he's talking about the spiritual Jerusalem. He's talking about our spiritual home in heaven. He says, by him, therefore, verse 15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And by the way, our actions as well as our words ought to bring glory to Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. In other words, he's saying that, look, he's blessed you. He's loved you. Show your love to others. Both obey them which have rule over you and submit yourselves, it says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that, it says, is unprofitable for them or for you. In other words, teachers that teach, they do, not trying to harm you, trying to do you good. And even sometimes if a leader or a preacher or even God's word, it chastises you, it cuts you, and it hits you where you live, it's not for the bad, it's for the good, because he loves you and he wants you to do what God would have you to do. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. In other words, as your pastor in this place, you'll follow me as I follow Christ. And look, if I cut left or go right and go contrary, then you don't follow me no more. And by the way, you follow me loosely. If I'm not in Christ, you don't need to fool with me no how. He says in verse 17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that must give an account. And by the way, I have to give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. In other words, we need prayer. Surely leaders need prayer. And we pray every day. I pray. I ask the Lord, I pray that I'm doing right by these folk here at Lamplighter. Verse 19 says, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you sooner. And he's saying, in person, I hope that I can get to you. Now the God of peace, that born again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood, hallelujah, of the everlasting covenant, in other words, established in Christ's blood and not in man's, surely not in animals, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the writer says, amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. In other words, this book I've written for your betterment. Read it, suffer through it, read it, study through it. He says, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, which whom, he says, if I come shortly, I will see you. And listen, we know that Timothy was in prison. We don't really know why, but he had just been set free. Verse 24 says, salute all them that have ruled over you, and all the saints that of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. And he ends this book of Hebrews with a hearty amen. And guys, we've gone through 13 chapters of this great book, went verse by verse. Surely some things we did not cover, but we covered much of it. It's probably a good time to go back and read through this book. And I dare say the Lord's going to show you some things that perhaps you had not seen before. Next week, we're going to start a new study. I know what it is, but I'm going to keep you guessing because I need you to come. But regardless, may the Lord bless your day that you have on this day. And Father God, we just come before you as we humbly as we know how. And Lord, I ask that you touch and bless this congregation. Father God, you have had us here many years, not all of us, but surely myself and my wife and some of the others for a lot of years, Father God. And Lord, we're just getting started. You're just getting us to where our motor's being run, Father God, and we're getting ready to switch into another gear. We ask, Father, that you lead us, that you guide us, and Father God, that you minister to us. We're remembering Frank and his wife Cindy, and don't think they have COVID, but they're not sure. So watch over them, bless them, as well as all others on our prayer list, Father God. And we have many. Father, we thank you for your blessedness. We thank you for your holiness. We thank you for holding us in regard to your truth. And Father God, we will always be ever so mindful to give your name all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Touch and bless as you see fit, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. And may God's children leave here with a hearty amen. And that's your cue to say amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Feel like I've been working.
Been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.